This episode of Fermented Adventure, the podcast, features Caroline Kristoff of Kristoff Farms. In this episode, we learn all about Kristoff Farms, and we got to taste two of their sensational ciders. Be sure to reach out to Caroline and Kristoff Farms and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Hello, ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guest. She's Caroline Kristoff. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Caroline, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Caroline, we met at CiderCon 2023. Dawn and I, we enjoyed your cider and we said, oh my God, people need to hear about Kristoff Farms and we would love to have you on the podcast. For those that are not from Oregon or the upper west coast of the United States, how did Kristoff Farms get started?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm so delighted that you said that. We were so excited to be pouring at CiderCon, and the fact that we left an impression on you is just such a delight. Kristoff Farms got started. There's many layers of stories. The short story is that we put in cider apple trees in about 2018. But the long story is that my grandpa was a refugee and immigrated to the United States in the 1950s. And he was sponsored to come to the States. And the first place he landed was Oregon. And he just absolutely fell in love with Oregon and had absolutely no money, but worked at a logging camp. And it reminded him of home. And he was from Ukraine, Eastern European area. And he was like, this is where I need to create my life. And so he went to Reed College, met my grandma at some point, and they bounced around a lot, but the entire time they were bouncing around at different, he eventually became a professor. They were always looking for land in Oregon. And so my dad moved to Canada at one point, they moved to LA, they moved to New York, and then finally a position at Portland State University opened up for my grandpa and this beautiful farm they found in Yamhill, Oregon opened up. And so in 1971, they bought Kristoff Farms and it's about 75 acres and it was the best decision of their entire lives. And they never left. My grandpa was on that farm until the day he died. And my grandma will be on that farm until the day she dies. So that's the long story of how Kristoff Farms came to be. It's a really, really, really special space and a beautiful piece of land. And I know that it's going to be in my family forever. Like, we would never, ever sell that space. And so for a long time, they inherited it as some plum trees and some apple trees. But at the time they kind of took everything out and put in a cherry orchard. And, you know, they had animals and cattle and goats and chickens and whatnot, but it was largely a pie cherry orchard. And it was absolutely stunning. And every single spring there was that week where you're just like, in heaven among
all
the cherry blossoms
and the smell. I yeah. can only imagine.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And I always dreamed, I was like, oh, one day I'm going to get married down an aisle of the cherry blossoms. But then in 2018, the company that used to buy our pie cherries went out of business. And we were like, oh, you know, we never really like thought of doing anything else, but we kind of poked around and tried to find someone else to buy our cherries. And we just kind of realized that there's no demand for pie cherries like there was in 1970s when, you know, at the end of the day, farmers would just sit down and have a slice of cherry pie. And the food industry and the dessert industry has just changed so much that there's just no, no demand for that. And meanwhile, over the years, the land around Yam Hill has become saturated with vineyards. They realize that it's the soil is super fertile and really rich and wonderful for Pinot Noir grapes and hazelnuts and apples. And so in 2018, we were left with this decision and we were like, what should we do? Should we, there is an option to just have the orchard and just abandon it and not really do anything of it. I mean, my grandma's like getting old. Or we can use it as an opportunity to restart and do something else. And so we talked to a bunch of friends in the area. We talked to a lot of local vineyards as well, because we were like, should we go the vineyard route? I mean, it makes sense. We have like south facing land and it's hilly and it's perfect, but it's also a ton of capital. Not that cider apples isn't, but the vineyard especially. And what we ended up deciding is doing half vineyard and half cider apple orchard. And it's really funny because it's as if we accidentally went into the cider apple business. It just made the most sense for our land. And we were like, you know, let's bet on cider. Sounds great. And I think, you know, like most people who come in, they're like diehard cider fans and like dreaming of one day having space to like be able to grow apples. And we were just kind of like, oops, like we don't really drink that much cider or wine. We don't really drink that much at all for that matter, but let's do this. And so we planted 9 acres of cider apples, about half semi-dwarf and half dwarf, and then about 11 acres of Pinot Noir grapes. And then we had our first harvest in 2020. And so we're pretty new in this world, but it's been such a wonderful learning experience. And we've just, and me especially, I've just absolutely fallen in love with the cider, the apple trees, the community, and everything. So that's kind of how we arrived at where we are.
What I love, Caroline, is hearing you explain your family history, your story, and there's such an appreciation and love that resonates from that. I can feel it. I can feel myself walking on the cherry orchard area and smelling and, you know, making decisions to, all right, what do we do with this land now? You know, where you're at, are there still cherry trees on the property?
We saved some, but most are gone. There's like 5 left.
Okay. And is that sad, something you have a plan to harvest and use the product in a cider or in a wine someday?
I think that that's what's so beautiful about what we have is that we still have a bunch of plum trees. We still have a few pear trees. We have some cherry trees, and the possibilities, there's just so many possibilities for co-ferments and just experimentation. And what I'm especially excited about is that we've been trying to acquire the land above us for God knows how long. And it was owned by a logging company forever. And they finally did their like last big log in like 2008 or something. And then we were able to purchase it a few years ago. So we have about 100 acres that we just recently got that, if this whole cider business thing works out for us, we can expand. And that's really, really, really exciting for us too. So there's lots in store for the future, and just there's a lot to think about. But yeah, the co-fermentation possibilities with like all the different fruit trees we have is especially exciting.
You spoke about that as a family, or you know, just as people, you don't really consume a lot of wine. You don't really consume a lot of cider. Now you own a winery, a vineyard, you own an orchard, a cidery. What's been the process for you to learn making wine and cider?
We've come a long way. So yeah, I would say like, even still, we don't drink that much, but a few years ago, like, I mean, I was trying to think of the times I've seen my parents drink, and it would be like, maybe at an event where they were served it, my like mom would take one sip and my dad would like maybe take a sip, but it was just never something that was like part of their lives. And then once we got into it, we were like, oh my God, we need to like learn about these things. We need to start drinking cider and wine. And we,
it's a hobby. I have to, it's research.
Yeah, we were like, we have to. But I mean, I'll still remember this. The first time we went to a cider bar, we went to Cider Riot. In Portland, and Abe was a cider maker there. He's since moved, but he's an amazing cider maker. And we were drinking, and we were like, ooh, like this stuff is actually really good. We've never had anything like it. But we were still in the phase where we were like, it all like kind of tastes the same. Which like now I'm like horrified that like I ever thought that. But we were all like, like, okay. And then we just started. You know, we had a lot of amazing mentors, like Rev Nat in Portland was so helpful for us, and was like, he was like, this is your assignment. Like, you guys need to drink cider. You guys need to come back to me in a month with like a list of like all the ciders you've had, what you like about them, what you don't like about them, like tasting notes. You need to practice drinking and practice like, you know, intentional drinking. And we were like, okay. He's right. We can't just get into this without really understanding these things. And so we started going to The Place, this amazing cider bar in Portland. And I remember David like giving us a whole spread of cider, and we were like diligently taking notes on our phones about each cider and just trying to figure out, we were like, oh, like how, like, I think I taste some like lychee in this one. but it was, we gotta start learning. And I think what's been so wonderful is how the cider community has embraced us and helped us. And especially in those early days, like I kind of just like cold emailed some people and was like, hey, we're doing this thing. Could we go by and like see your facilities and like try some of your cider? We're just getting into this industry in the area. And everyone would be like, yes, come, like, of course. Oh my goodness. And you guys should do like this, this, and this, and like, oh, and try this. Oh, and talk to this person. And I mean, it was like, obviously I don't want to say like, it's been so easy, but our support network and the people we've met have made this journey so unbelievably seamless and wonderful and easier than it could have been in many ways.
You take your assignment of try and drink as much cider as you can, give your feedback, talk about what you're tasting and smelling, and now you're transitioning into, all right, we're going to set up a cider. We've got this fruit. You're now picking out equipment. You're now deciding on yeast and the kind of cider you want to make. What was that experience? And I'm imagining right now, the trees go in 2018. What year did you begin making cider? Was it your juice to start? Are you transitioning through that? And then, you know, all right, now we've got all this coming from our trees. There's so much there. What was, you know, talk about that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we didn't think we were going to get our first cider until 2021. The first harvest, I mean. And we had been talking with Rev Nat, who was recommended to us through Nick Gunn, who helped consult us on which varieties to plant and was enormously helpful. But then I graduated in 2020, and hence my Zoom semester But I graduated in 2020 and into the pandemic and was just trying to figure out what I was going to do next. And then suddenly, you know, my parents were like, oh wait, I think we might have a cider harvest this year. And like, you know, they were just kind of like doing it on the side. And I was like, wait, we're going to have a harvest this year? Like, who's thinking about these things? Like, who's going to lead it? Like, what are we going to do with it? And they're like, oh, like, I don't know.
Who's going to handle the social media?
Yeah. I was like, wait, what's the plan? And so I kind of like stepped up then because I was like, all right, free time now. And so that's when we had our first harvest. And that year I like had a couple friends come over. We like picked all the apples and we drove them up to Brevnath's facility in Portland. And he was the one, you know, he has like the production facilities on site. And so he was the one who was making the cider with our juice. And then we made it under our label and under our name. But, you know, it was so funny. Like even the label, I mean, even now, but even the label, like I had a friend from high school paint the label and a friend from college like create our logo. Like it was just really kind of homegrown. things just kind of aligned, and we had our first cider was released in 2021. But at that point, you know, we were like just working with Brevnath and we were like, we trust you to make all these decisions. He was like, no, it's your cider. Like you guys have a pretty good palate and like, we want your input. And so I remember when we like did our little tasting, to figure out if we wanted to do any blending, but we tried it just as is without any back sweetening or anything. And we were like, this is actually pretty good. And he was like, yeah, you guys have amazing fruit. I mean, you know, like there's not much that you need to do with it. But Brevnath at that point was enormously helpful. And then since then, we've transitioned to working with Bauman's, with Christine at Bauman's, since she works with fruit. She has an orchard and is just much more attuned to the process of from apple tree to final product than Nat, who's working more in like volume and is farther from the apple growing side of things. And so since then we've been working really closely with Christine and choosing yeasts and figuring out how to create the blends we want. But honestly, even her too, like we this last time when we were like trying to do like some blending, which is, I love the blending process, so much fun, but we were like, it's actually pretty well balanced. And there's just Mother Nature. So yeah, Christine and Nat were both, have been enormously helpful in just trying to in helping us create the cider and also feel confident in, you know, our thoughts and insights about the way it should taste and be.
Your journey is extremely fascinating. And what it does is it illustrates so many different levels or experiences that you can have, let's say, as a cider maker. It's your fruit. You're taking it to somebody that has a production facility. They can press the apples. They can ferment the juice, but they'll consult with you or you consult with them and say, all right, this is the yeast. This is how long. Let's work on this, you know, recipe, or, you know, what do we want to do? What's our alcohol by volume? All those things. Your story is very different from the next cidery, but it's interesting because there's so many ways you can go about doing this. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we are pretty unique in that, like, we happened upon the cider apple industry and in process rather than kind of diving deeply into it from the passion standpoint, which I think a lot of other people, that's how they arrive at it. But yeah, I mean, it's just been so wonderful to, even like last year at GlintCap, I was like, I don't belong here. Like what, how, who, this must be a fluke. But it's, the cider industry is so new And so many people have started in the last 5 years, and like, I'm no longer that new. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, 2018? Like, okay, you've been here for 5 years. And I'm like, what? I feel like we started this yesterday. So that's been really wonderful. And just like, yeah, like helping us gain confidence in our place in this industry. And I mean, I really just like cannot understate how wonderful our mentors have been to us.
We are going to taste some cider tonight. The question is on my mind as you speak to your history and your place, is there a plan to bring production onto the farm and have a tasting facility and have, you know, food trucks and people sharing around festivals? What's the grand plan right now?
Oh, you're speaking my language. Yes, there are so many dreams and so many aspirations, but we definitely would love to be able to bring production on site sometime in the next, I don't know, at some timeline.
We're not going to hold you to it. We're just going to make you accountable.
Yeah. But that's absolutely the dream. I mean, I think it's been so wonderful to be able to share this really, really special space through our product, especially because, you know, for so long we had pie chairs, but we never got to see what happened with it. You know, people would just, they would be picked and we would sell them and then that's it. But now it's so beautiful to be able to have this tangible product that's created from our land and that's been created for all the years that we've been like working on our soil for the past 50 years. You know, like this has been in the works for so, so, so long to be able to create the product that we have today. And that's been an absolute blessing to be able to see that. But I still would love to be able to share our space and I want people to be able to come. I think what's tricky right now is that my grandma is still living on the land and she's getting old. And, you know, this is the place that she's lived for over 50 years. And we don't really want to like commercialize it in front of her eyes. And, you know, we also want to respect her privacy. And we're just trying to be really intentional about like how we go about fulfilling our 5-year, 10-year plan. That being said, we are definitely hoping to have some kind of tasting room that will probably be a combination of for both our wine and our cider at some point. I mean, my dream is like, music festivals, like people can camp. I love what Art and Science has done. They have this like big field and people come and they host concerts and like, and people are playing music all night and drinking cider and then camping next to sunflowers and the apples. And it's just so beautiful. And I love that. And I love hosting and I love bringing people together and I also love cider. And so it's just like farming. So it's a combination of everything I love. And I would love like lavender fields and, you know, like trails all around. Like I want to bring everyone to our space so they could see it and it could be, yeah, like a farm to tape or farm to glass experience. And, you know, already wineries do that really, really well. But I think in the cider world, it's pretty separated. There's not, you know, like there's a lot of apple orchards that people go to like pick apples in the fall. Or, you know, they usually have like a little bit of cider, but otherwise cider tasting rooms, like they're, or cider bars, you know, they're just usually buying juice and fermenting it and creating it, which is also so wonderful. But I feel like there's more of a disconnect in the cider industry than there is in the wine industry. And I mean, it's so much fun to be able to like go to a vineyard and like look at the vines and tour it and then like drink a glass of wine. So I would love to bring people to this space. And I just like, I think being able to see the trees and drink beside them would just be such a wonderful opportunity.
I am absolutely enamored with your vision. I love it. And all I kept thinking was Steve Carell this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius and running through the fields and lots of choreographed dancing. That sounds great. I know you're, you know, in a place, and I love how you respect your family. And, you know, specifically the history of your land. And as people, as grandma's there, she this is how she has lived it. And that's her experience. So, you know, I'm sure at some point you'll share that 5 to 10 year plan and understand that maybe she is on board or maybe she's not, or maybe she's, you know, just kind of warming up the idea. Is there an architectural rendering right now for that log flume ride? Because I would love to see the only cidery in the United States with a log flume ride. That would be fun.
That would be so much fun. My parents are going to be like, oh, stop getting more ideas. But yeah, I mean, I want it all. If people could go like paragliding on our property, I'd be like, please.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah, seriously.
I would be remiss not to ask and miss the opportunity. I know we're talking specifically about cider, but you have grapes on your property. And where are you in the process of cultivating that and creating a harvest from that and having your own wine?
Yeah. So we actually just had our first harvest in 2022 for our grapes, which is so exciting. And we're going to be working with a local winemaker who lives just down the road and who went to the same high school as my dad did, right in the town. And it's Elk Cove. Like they're really, really, really wonderful people and they make wonderful wine. But they're aging right now. They're fermenting and aging. Like we're going to have that ready 2024. So we're really excited. We're right kind of in the depths of like label making and figuring out licensing and TTB work and all that jazz, but that's in the works and it's coming soon. But in the interim, we also have really exciting new cider coming out that we did a cider fermented on our Pinot Noir skins. And that's going to be coming out in the next couple of months, which we're really excited about. And it's so good. So I'm so excited for that to finally be released.
All right. I want dibs on bottle number 17 because I don't want to hoard the first 10 because I know that's going out to family and friends. Bottle number 17 I can take. So if that's something that's in the works, I'm okay with that.
It's yours.
I love the creativity. I just love where you're taking this vision and what you're doing with the cider and coordinating that with your Pinot grapes. And that's really what you're growing on the land right now. Are there more plans in the works to add more grapes and expand the vineyard?
So not right now. I mean, we haven't even sold any of our wine yet. So we got to see.
Well, you sold one bottle. I mean, one, hello.
It's done. Yeah. Number 17.
Charge my credit card now.
So yeah, no plans right now to expand the vineyard. We definitely would be open to it if everything like works out. And again, the land and the soil and the fact that we are a little bit elevated and it's all south facing, like we do check all of the boxes for just like good crops. So we definitely have that option. But right now, I think we're really just focused on like making really good wine and really good cider and then seeing what we can do from there.
In a way, it's going to lead you to a place rather than trying to get to a place. You'll see where the whole, hey, we're making cider, we're making wine. What are the next steps that will open up for us as people appreciate what we're doing and the vision of your cider and wine? Let's do this. You were gracious enough, and thank you so much for sending us 2 bottles. And we have 2 bottles here. One is the Orchard Cider and one is the Reserve Cider. Which one would you say we should open up and taste first?
I think we should open and taste the Orchard Cider first because it's a little bit drier.
Pardon the interruption. If you like what you hear, if you love what you're hearing, please share the podcast. Please take a screenshot of the podcast, post it on your social media, tag us just to let everybody else know about Fermented Adventure, the podcast. We'd be grateful for your help to grow our podcast. Now, I'm looking, you mentioned about the labels and this artwork. If I guess what's appearing through this apple, is that a painting of your farm?
It is.
That is awesome. That is wonderful. So this is like, look, when you buy a bottle of this, you're getting the whole vision. You're getting what you see, this very dark, almost like a nectarine color of cider. It's not filtered, so you get everything in here and all the goodness, and you get this picture, and it transports you to Christoph Farms and Yamhill County. It's got everything. I love this. This is something I'm almost saying, if I gave this as a gift, I'm giving just everything, and I love it. This is, you know, I'm giving a family tradition. This is an heirloom, this bottle.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, no, we're so happy with how it turned out, and the label looks so good. And I have to give a shout out to my friend Maggie O'Keefe, who painted the label. I mean, it's just so beautiful, and it just captures the farm so wonderfully. So, and it's just such a clean look, and I think it complements the color, the amber of the cider really well.
Okay, I've opened this, and there are these wonderful bubbles that are just ready to just greet the world here. Even from the nose, there's this rich, delicious, juicy apple goodness that is just, the air is full of this right now. This is wonderful. So are you trying this too? Did you pour yourself a glass of this?
Oh, I did. I did. I have some.
Good. I'm glad. Now, talk about the apples that go into this production and what we are drinking.
Absolutely. So this blend is all of our dwarf apple trees, and it's all the cider apples from them. So we have Harrison, Dabinet, Michelin, Wicks and Crab, Vilbury, Yarlington Mill, and Redfield, and Golden Russets. And did I forget any? Harry Masters Jersey. I think that's all of them. And every year since they've been producing, you know, like, they're biannual. So like, some years we get a ton of Golden Russets, other years we get a ton of Vilbury. It just is so, you know, we can't control nature. That's just what happens. And so this is just, we don't have enough yet that we can ferment separately. So we just picked them, threw them all together, pressed them, and then fermented them till dry. And this is what emerged. And it's not, there's like a little bit of residual sugar, but we didn't back sweeten. We didn't blend it with anything else. Like, this is literally just our apples from our farm. And I know, as mentioned before, I mean, we tasted this, we were in Christine's kitchen, and we were trying, you know, we were like, oh, we can like back sweeten, we could do this to amp it up. And then we tasted it, and we were like, I think it's actually perfect. So it really is just all of our cider apples thrown together and fermented till dry.
As, hearing you explain the production, the nose on this smells like a fresh baked apple pie. I get the crust. I get butter. I get baking spice. It's if you want to eat mom's apple pie, at least on the nose, drink mom's apple pie. That's what it smells like. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely some like apple skins, and it's like very rich, but really apple forward in a way that we're really happy about. I know it sounds so silly that like apple is a note, but you know, oftentimes you're drinking these heritage ciders and apple is like a secondary note, and it's not the main front, but for this, it's really, really apple forward.
And let's not forget, we're drinking apple cider. And yes, we can spend a long evening pulling different, you know, components out of the nose, but sometimes it's just simple to say, this is what apples and a lot of apples. The first thing I get on, and this is what I love about the cider community, is everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's doing something different. It's not, hey, we made a cola and it's like that Coca-Cola company. you know, we tried to make sure the profile was as close to that as possible so the consumer would drink it. We made a wine that was similar to this. When you think of this, you know, everybody says when they make vodka, oh, it's like Tito's. Well, this is not, this is so unique. This is so wonderful that it's so personal. I think the flavor is there. I'm at a loss to really, you know, I'm getting into this. This is almost like, I just want to sit around, you know, watching the stars come out and just drink your cider under the Oregon sky right now. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, no, I feel like also it's the perfect, it's perfect because it's accessible and it's not too isolating for people who have never tried cider before. Because there's definitely some like really, really wonderful ciders, but they're a little bit more intimidating and different, but it's still different enough and unique enough and drier than what people, non-cider drinkers are used to when they think of cider. So I think we struck that balance really, really well.
The first thing that comes across is a sweetness that there's also a viscous quality to similar to maybe like an applesauce. And then what immediately changes is the bitterness kicks in. The bitterness, as I would describe it, is almost hop-like, that if you're drinking an IPA, and that's very complimentary to the location of the world that you're in with the whole IPA culture going on and the beer culture. And then you get almost that tannic feel. So it's so many different layers of experience. And then there's a spiciness I noticed that lingers on the back palate, like a cinnamon kind of a spiciness. This is awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole,
thanks to grandpa for buying a farm, you know,
I know, right. I mean, I feel like each sip is a whole journey, and you get all the different parts and then you're still tasting it. The finish I think is really, really lovely on this one. And it's, you know, each sip is just a slice of our farm.
For those that are wine drinkers that would say, cider, this is a wine drinker cider. And I know coming from CiderCon, there's a lot of discussion about comparing to the wine industry. But I really think that this is something where I almost say that there's almost like somebody might stop and say, are you sure this is a cider? This is a wine, isn't it? You made a wine and you're telling me it's a cider. Is that what you're doing, Caroline?
It's so funny because, I mean, it's literally the exact same process. I mean, it is a wine. They're all just fruit fermentations. And it's funny. I feel like sometimes now I go to these natural wine bars and I taste something and I'm like, wait, this is cider? And they're like, no, it's a wine. And I'm like, wow, there's just so much overlap. And, but it's the exact same process. And I think people don't appreciate that at all. People are so in this, I feel like people are really disconnected from the fact that cider comes from trees in the same way that wine does.
What was your CiderCon experience? What stood out to you at CiderCon?
Oh, I loved CiderCon. I think one thing I really appreciated it is just each session, everyone's able to come together and discuss this particular topic. And I know that sounds like so silly, but when we were trying to figure out, and still as we're trying to figure things out, I mean, we ask like five different cider makers, or we ask five different apple growers, like, oh, what do you do about this particular problem? Or like, oh, like, how much should we water this type of tree? And you get five different answers for every single thing. And we're just like, okay, obviously every farm is unique, but how are we getting such drastically different answers for everything? And I think, you know, part of it is just that there's not a good, or there hasn't historically been like a good centralized avenue for information sharing and for transfer of knowledge and for everyone's just kind of like figured out on their own. And so CETRCon and the Northwest CETR Association and the ACA, like they're all just doing such amazing work, just bringing the community together and creating spaces to exchange knowledge in that way. And so even just connecting with other Pacific Northwest growers and who face similar problems, and just all being together, trying to figure out how do we tell people about how good cider is? How do we get people on the bandwagon and how do we elevate it? And, you know, it's so frustrating to me, but like, you know, sometimes I'm like, I tell people like, oh yeah, like my family's a cider apple orchard. And some people are like, oh, like, I don't like cider. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't like cider? That's like saying, you know, you don't like all Asian food because you don't like Panda Express or something like that. And I think people just have this image of what it is and that there's just one type of cider. And it's like, you know, like a Angry Orchard that they drink in freshman year of college and like made them sick. And they're just like, oh, no, not that stuff. But there's just a cider for everyone. And just trying to figure out with this big collective group of people that is so passionate about cider and so passionate about being a successful industry for really no other reason other than their passion has just been so wonderful to be a part of. And especially at this stage of it, I feel so lucky to be able to be part of CiderCon and these communities right now, because so much is happening and there's so much growth every year. And even just, I mean, I've only been 2 years, but, and I know last year was more pandemic adjacent and, but even still, like so many more people, like so much more media around it. Like people are coming on doing like vlogs about CiderCon and I'm like, this is so cool. it's really up and coming.
I feel that you are part of that discussion. And what you've talked about is how do we find a way, and we collectively, cider drinkers, those that enjoy cider, cider producers, how do we bring more people into the fold? To where someday at some point, somebody's going to stop and say, why haven't I been drinking this years ago? How have I missed out on this? And at that point, and hopefully it's relatively soon, that the cider industry will be at such a level where it's talking about the different, hey, you need that gateway cider, but you know, we need to get past that bad cider experience, right? And I think it's a lot of this conversation we're having now to elevate the interest in cider, to create a desire for cider, to look at these ciders where, you know, this one cider we've already had. It's so, I'm going to say it's fun. It's refined. It's intellectual. It's got all those components to it. You can bring this, and I've said this, you know, within the cider industry, I can bring this to dinner and people are going, oh, I think you're going to bring in wine. Well, I like wine, but I want to try this cider because I think this cider that you said you're doing pork, a nice pork loin, pork roast. I think this cider would stand up so well to that. You said you were doing tacos. This is a great cider to do tacos with. It's fun. It's refined. It's intelligent. And I go back and I say this. You know, where Michelle McGrath, I believe, said, or it was Eleanor Leger that said, you know, serious about cider, but don't take yourself so seriously. That's I think, so resounding, so impactful. And I think that's your cider. It's serious cider, but you're not taking yourself serious about how you're putting it in the bottle and where you're getting to.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, I think I definitely think that cider is on the rise. And I think in 10 years, people are going to look back and be like, oh, wow, I cannot believe that didn't rise up sooner. And I mean, with the whole history of cider, I mean, cider was the American drink before Prohibition. It was the number one alcoholic beverage. And I think even like, you know, when I tell people that, people are like, oh, my God, what? they're like, wait. oh, Johnny Appleseed came for cider, not eating apples. I mean, people just have no idea. And but I think especially, I mean, we saw the rise or slash explosion of seltzers. And I think that that was just a reflection of the need for like another type of beverage that is A, not as heavy as beer, B, not as alcoholic as wine, C, is not as gendered as either of those beverages as well, and just more inclusive, and D, a little bit healthier too.
All right, I'm just going to throw this out here. I'm going to get all the hate mail and stuff. Seltzer is the Jane Fonda video, the Richard Simmons video. It's headbands and leggings. That's what seltzer is. Cider is not that.
Yeah.
You know, seltzer is yesterday's what were we drinking at the bar? Cider is what am I going to be drinking for the next 25, 30, 40, 50 years? And
yeah,
people saying, I have a cider cellar and all the collectibles and those things. Speaking of cider cellar, this reserve cider. I open this as we're talking about this a little bit. I've been nosing this. Talk about the reserve cider. That's got my whole, you know, olfactory's dancing right now.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned before that the orchard tastes like you were drinking an apple pie, and I was like, oh, just you wait. So the reserve cider is that starts with that same base blend of all of our cider apples thrown together, fermented till dry, and then they're aged in neutral oak barrels for several months, and then blended with a splash of Eating's ice cider, their heirloom ice cider.
That's what I'm getting.
Yes. So it's super, you know, it's got those like tannins from the oak and the barrel and all that character, but then that ice cider just amps everything up a notch and really softens those harsher edges from the tannins, but just rounds it out in a way that just creates this like such a wonderful but really rich and deep cider.
I'm so glad that you explained that, because as I was nosing that, I'm getting this dessert wine finish, something like a Sauterne. I didn't pick the ice wine because I wasn't even the ice cider. I wasn't expecting that. The nose, I'm like, wow, is this a, did you secondary finish in port barrels? You know, what is that wonderful sweetness? It's almost like a honey sticky sweetness on the nose that hits your back nose. It really does. And this oaky quality, it's very light. It's almost like, They touch the barrels, they kissed them, they went in and out, and then that did its thing. It really did. Wow.
Yeah.
We're drinking. How did you come together with Eden to do this collaboration? That's so fascinating.
Great question. It was actually from CiderCon 2021. Or no, 2022. It was from last year's CiderCon. I just met Eleanor. It was the first time I met her, and we were just talking about cider and, you know, kind of how she got started. And we were talking about how we were planning on finishing our cider and not sure how to, you know, like, how do you elevate it without diluting it if you're back sweetening it with just like apple juice, but if you're just adding sugar, sometimes it like makes it a little like funky. And she was like, ice cider, that's the magic. And I was like, oh my goodness, because then you're still preserving the intensity of flavor and ABV and sugars, but you're just getting all that in one product, and just like everything is just up a notch. And from that conversation, you know, we just kept in touch and we were like, let's do a collaboration. And it just worked out so wonderfully, but it was born out of CiderCon. And so, you know, there's that perfect example of how it creates synergy in ways that, you know, you can't really do over across the country like that normally, because she's all the way in Vermont.
This is magical. This is, wow. This is mind-blowing. It really is. We had a bottle of the ice cider. We Dawn and I, we sit around our fire pit and we drank a bottle of the ice cider. And this is a wonderful tribute to that cider while incorporating so much personality of what Christoph Farm has. What Christoph Farms is producing and what Eden Cider brought together, this is almost like, you know, this wonderful quarterback to wide receiver combination that you, I mean, not for Seattle for a while. Sorry about that. But no, this, it's a wonderful tribute. It's a wonderful collaboration. This is a treat. And hopefully there are so many bottles of this just sitting around somewhere. Again, I would put this in my cider, you know, cave and open this up for special occasions. This is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really, really special cider, and we're so happy with how it came out. But I think, and just like seeing the reaction from people too, whenever we're pouring, people have never tasted anything like it before. And people are just like spellbound. I mean, I think our orchard is absolutely amazing, but you know, a lot of people do like an orchard blend with similar types of apples that we do. And so that's somewhat familiar, but the reserve is, I think, really what sets us apart so far.
I see a sticker on here that says Great Lakes 2022.
Yes, yes. So actually both of them got gold medals at Glint Cap last year. The Orchard Cider won a best in class, which was really exciting. And then the Reserve got the gold medal and then also a double gold from Sip Magazine as well. And so that was, we were just over the moon because it was our first time entering in these competitions. And we definitely were just happy to be a part of them, let alone win anything.
Caroline, at what point did the idea of being a cider maker kind of come to you and say, yeah, this is what I want to do? I mean, you talked about going to school, being on Zoom University. Did you have any aspirations of this is something that you got to do or get to do?
No, I really, like, you know, 4 years ago, if you had, or 4 to 5 years ago, if you had told me that I would be this involved in this at this time in my life, I would have been like, get out of here. No way. It just never even crossed my mind. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the perfect combination of all of my interests. And it's so much fun to be building this, helping to build this company from the ground up with my family. You know, obviously it has its challenges, but it's been such an enormous experience. And it's like running a startup, you know, it's just so much fun. There's always something new going on, but at the same time, having these longer and goals in mind and these visions that, I mean, we already have the land. That's the hardest part. Like, and that's not leaving our family ever. And, you know, I'm now just so certain that like, this is going to be part of my life forever. And I'm just so thrilled about it. But would have never imagined this.
You talked about, you know, grandmom and grandpop and your parents. I mean, what's their, if you talk to them about it, what's their experience been like too? I mean, as you talk about the cidery and the orchard and the plan, you know, what's this been like for them and watching you get very involved in this?
I think that they too have honestly been just as surprised. you know, they came into it being like, all right, practical. And they're very practical people. And they were like, this makes the most sense for our space. We'll do this. Okay. And you know, again, they weren't big cider drinkers, and they've come a long way, but they definitely, especially like a few years ago, were like, oh, you know, we'll just kind of run it similarly to the cherry apple, the cherry trees, where we just outsource it and we you know, we grow the apples, but we're not gonna ever like have a production on site. And now they're just as involved. Now we're right next to each other being like, all right, production's going to be on site, or, you know, maybe we'll do a tasting room in Yamhill. And so it's been really, really cool to see them get really excited about it as well. And, you know, have these share these longer visions. I think I'm still, in terms of my visions, are a little bit more aspirational than theirs, or lofty, so to say, but they're also so excited about it. And, you know, I think for them too, knowing that I really, really care about this and that I'm going to be taking care of both the business and the land, is so important to them, because they're both living on the farm now, and like, it's also their favorite place in the world. And, you know, they're still young and healthy, but they're not that young anymore. And I think knowing that, you know, I think I have two older brothers, and they're definitely like somewhat involved, one more than the other, but I don't think that they're ever going to like live on the farm. You know, I think that they'll always be happy to be involved from afar, but I'm the one that's like, oh no, I can like see myself living on the farm. And so I think that that's really, really, you know, special for them.
Thank you so much for what you're taking care of, the family legacy, the orchard, what you're creating. I get even more excited about the future of cider because of somebody like you and your family who are setting out a legacy. This is a legacy brand. And 5 years into it, but you're really only a couple of years in production of your own juice and apples. And what you're creating is just, you raise the bar. You say to the beverage community, the consumers out there, this is what you have to look forward to for many years to come. And you ain't seen nothing yet, right?
Just scratching the surface. No, seriously, that means so much. It is just so, so exciting that people are really loving our ciders and enjoying them and also asking us to be on podcasts. But no, seriously, it means so much. And we're just so excited to be sharing our product and sharing our space. And the fact that people are also loving our products means the world.
Caroline, thank you for sharing this cider. Thanks for sharing your time this evening. We'll be out in Portland in January for CiderCon 2024. I'm curious, how far is Portland from the cidery?
It's only about an hour.
All right. So we're gonna use this picture on the bottle as a guide. And when we finally get to the top of the hill that overlooks the meadow, that I can see a house with a red roof on it, we will know we are at Kristoff Farms.
You can't miss it.
We can't wait to see you at the bottle share, continuing this conversation. We can't wait to see the next expressions that come from Kristoff. This has been a treat. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time tonight. And can't wait to I'm going to just sit here and enjoy more cider. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Rich. This has been such a joy. And I'm so excited that you get to try ciders. And I will see you at Portland CiderCon.
Portland CiderCon. Don't forget bottle 17, okay?
It's yours.
Cheers.
Cheers.